Next, we turn to the regular calendar and the reusable foodware ordinance.
Okay, before we go to Justin, I thought I'd take just a brief moment to give you some context and background on where we are currently. At the last time at our board meeting in November, we had asked you to go back and discuss with your fellow council members, board members, to see the receptivity of a foodware ordinance and whether a countywide ordinance is preferable or a model ordinance that can be customized according to cities. So we would like to hear from you. We'll invite you to share your experience after Justin's presentation. So that's how the day is going to go. Before we start the discussion, I also want to just review some policy objectives and just kind of get a sense from you. Are we on the same page here? The reason why we're pursuing this ordinance is because, one, we want to reduce the consumption of single-use foodware and replacing a single-use foodware with yet another single-use foodware is not really a solution. Is that yes? This kind of thing. Okay.
To that point, was that something that we identified as a priority of the board, or is that something that the staff identified as a priority and brought forward to the board?
That was brought forward by a couple board members right before our priority setting process, and the result of it is a guiding principle where we said anytime we're going to adopt an ordinance, we will have to do a very thorough resource analysis. So this is part of that process of resource analysis is where we are right now. Another policy objective is to create and support infrastructure countywide so that when we are ready to move from reuse, disposable to reuse, we have the infrastructure in place. Third one is we want to make sure that any replacement will not have any toxics in it. For example, PFAS. We don't want foodware that has PFAS. And I wanted to add kind of our perspective in terms of our objective. We want to be responsive to your desire to provide leadership in this arena, but we also want to develop a policy that is pragmatic, that is thoughtful, and that can be implemented countywide equitably. Are we okay with that before I move on? Okay. So while you were talking to your fellow board and council members, we also continue our dialogue with your city staff, including your staff in recycling as well as your city managers. And it became apparent to us that there's still a lot of information that's missing. There's a lot of uncertainties, questions that we couldn't answer. How is this going to impact a small business in your community? If it's a mom-and-pop restaurant, say, and they don't have enough space to include a dishwasher if we move to a reusable for dine-in, how long will it take for them to get a sewer hookup if they don't have that? How much is that going to cost? So there are a lot of questions, and there are a lot of infrastructure currently that's nascent but not really well developed. So we feel that that's an important area to explore. And what we heard primarily from your staff is, I would say 95% of your staff, is this big concern about this particular project taking away resources from our ability to implement 1383 or to help your member agencies implement 1383. So based on that, we came up with the third option that you saw in the staff report, an option of doing pilot projects and data collection. And so now I will turn it over to Justin, just saying that is our preferred option currently, is the pilot project and data collection, but the two other options remain in the mix, and of course it is absolutely up to you to give us policy direction. So with that, turn it over to Justin.
Thanks, Wendy. So we've talked a bit previously about the other two options. So for about 10 minutes or so, and that's all I intend to take because we want to hear from you all, I thought we could drill down a little bit more on what we mean by pilot projects. Laid out in the memo, we noted that in order to recommend, for staff to recommend any mandatory policy, we really need to have a high level of confidence that it will be successful, that it will achieve the desired results. And that's that. There were already some questions, and then more came up during this process that are really good questions. So I think the pilot projects will help us to, with the goal being to better understand the impacts of switching from single-use to reusable foodware, to develop more infrastructure, as Wendy was noting, services that are nascent or not fully available yet in the county. This is one example. This is a Vessel reusable cup. They're part of the City of Berkeley pilot, and some folks from Vessel are actually here today, and maybe they'll be able to comment later. We need to develop more services like this, dishwashing services, reusable cup services, to make it really convenient for consumers and for the businesses to participate in using reusables. So we want to partner with member agencies, and we want to partner with businesses for this to initiate pilot projects that will help us evaluate some different approaches. That's it in a nutshell, but to drill down a little bit more, some of the focus areas that we are thinking about for pilot projects. One piece is more proactive technical assistance to restaurants, to food service establishments, to help them make the switch. And through that process of providing technical assistance, we would learn more about the financial impacts and the labor impacts of making that switch. How feasible is it? What kind of issues come up with permitting, with facilities, and with staffing related to that? And how do the costs really play out? There is some data available, and there are case studies available, but I think there are lots of different types of establishments, and the economics could be different based on the circumstances, based on the size of the operation, based on the location, convenience, all these factors. Another piece is trying out and seeing how consumers and businesses can adapt to different reusable solutions and services. So Vessel is one example. You use an app for that. There might be other models out there. I don't think any of the services have been around long enough for us to really know what's the best approach to this, what is the easiest for the consumer, the most seamless for the business, what are the cost incentives or disincentives that might exist. Also, through the process, we can test out outreach messages. We've talked about, for a model ordinance, Stop Waste would provide some general messaging templates that could be countywide, focusing on the message of reusables are the best choice. For an actual countywide ordinance, there would be campaigns around that as well. So a pilot period gives us an opportunity to test out some messaging, see what's effective and what resonates. And then there's a whole bunch of criteria that would be really important to consider. Geography and density. We know that the City of Berkeley's pilot is targeting, you know, a concentrated area of the city with a dense population, student population, and a lot of cafes. So that's not existent throughout the county. There are other places that don't have that density or don't have that population. We need to understand how a system like this could work in other types of situations. Also, there's restaurant size, there's chain versus independent, you know, small mom-and-pop businesses. The impacts are going to be different. And we want to know what conditions lead to the greatest chance of success. I think that's really important to understand. And that can help us define parameters. So ultimately, if there's a countywide approach taken, we will have a better sense of what parameters to start with, which ones might make more sense to phase in over time as infrastructure builds up. And throughout this pilot period, hopefully we're building the infrastructure so that when we do, if we do move forward ultimately with an ordinance, that infrastructure isn't starting from so close to the start, right? It's had a bit of more time to develop. And then also, since Alameda and Berkeley are leading the way on this, We can learn, share information and learn from what's happening in those cities, review enforcement approaches and results, and apply that learning to a countywide process as well. So that's a bit on the pilots, a little more on our role and the member agency roles as we see it. So Stop Waste role, coordination, project management, there's the concept of a master contract for technical assistance that we've already, you know, talked about and are working with some member agencies on. And we can continue to facilitate that process. Overall design of the pilots, what would they look like? How would they work? Working with our partners to design those things. We would be responsible for data collection, analysis, sharing that data, communicating with all the interested member agencies about this. Grants also, financing to help build up the infrastructure we keep talking about. We want to apply and have already started applying our grants program to support reuse and support businesses and organizations specifically looking to transition to more reusables. For the member agency roles, we really need help with recruitment. So identifying those businesses that are great candidates and that are interested and willing participants in a pilot is something that I think the staff at the member agencies are much closer to and have a better sense and can help Stop Waste connect with the right businesses. Resources, also we've talked throughout this process about the resource impacts both labor and hard costs. So we envision matching resources. So for a member agency that wants to participate in a pilot, contributing funding or in-kind resources to support that. And then information sharing on implementation, on enforcement, so that we're all kind of getting best practices, developing those best practices as we go. Time frame. So we don't want to overly delay a process, but we do want to take enough time to gather the data and really be thoughtful about it. So we think 6 to 8 months is a reasonable time frame. 6 months for a pilot after the startup has happened. So there's some work to design a pilot. There's some work to recruit businesses. Once they're up and running, we think 6 months is a good time period to test out a service, a solution, an approach. So having said that, that's kind of my drill down on the pilot projects. I want to remind you, as Wendy did, there are three options that have been discussed. In addition to the pilots, there's the countywide ordinance. When we spoke in November, we presented a countywide ordinance that could be a little more expansive. In the interest of thinking about what is most likely to achieve consensus, maybe to get everyone on the same page, because we stressed the importance of that for a countywide ordinance, we streamlined that for this presentation, a countywide ordinance that could be just one element, reusables for dine-in. And that's because that's the element that gets at that first policy objective that Wendy mentioned, reducing consumption, not substituting another single-use product for, you know, just one for one, but really getting at consumption. So a countywide ordinance that maybe just focuses on that one element of reusables for dine-in customers is one option. The model ordinance is still on the table, and that's really the most flexible approach. It's the full menu of options of elements that could go into an ordinance from reusables all the way to fees on single-use items. So that's an option as well. And then the new option of pilot projects that we are talking about. So that's my overview. Wendy, do you want to?
Yeah.
So I think from that we can move into hearing from all of you about your discussions back at your cities and your thoughts.
And questions?
Yep.
Yeah, so Bob?
Thanks for that. So maybe everybody else understands, but I don't. So, You talked about the geography and density in Berkeley. What, I don't understand, what's the advantage of having...
So,
help me out.
Yeah, sure. There's just one example. But if you have a reusable cup service and there's one cafe participating in the area, you have to get that cup back to the cafe. But if there's 10 cafes in a small area, it's easier for for the consumer to return this cup. I have 5 days to return this.
Okay, I didn't realize you were returning. Okay, thanks. And getting back to the startup, I understand 6 to 8 months from the time to get started, but it seems like there's going to be a fair amount of time to get to the starting stage. And I just wondered, you talked about recruiting. Do you have a sense of how many you think should or could participate in the pilot, and what could be the mix of restaurants?
And I actually have a related question to that. Is the idea that the pilot would be certain jurisdictions and that every affected business within that jurisdiction would participate in the pilot? Or is it a countywide pilot where individual businesses are recruited to participate?
So a lot of the details still have yet to be sorted out. But I can say I don't think it would be feasible to include all the businesses in a jurisdiction. I think a
Piedmont only has one. So.
Okay, well, that's pretty doable. I think that key criteria will be a jurisdiction that wants to come to the table and partner with us and feels like they can contribute some resources in kind or dollars, and ideally has some ideas already. Oh, we have some businesses that I think would be great for this. It might be businesses that you already know are environmental leaders, are progressive, have been open to, you know, new approaches. It might be related to a geographic, a density issue. Like Berkeley has the campus area that brings together a lot of factors that can make a pilot like this, I think, more feasible. But that's not to say that it can't work elsewhere. So we want to test that. So I think a lot of that, what we would need to do is get to work in earnest after receiving direction on hashing out those details. We already have the subcommittee of our TAC that has already expressed interest in this, and we can reconvene that group quickly and start thinking through those details.
How many cities are already doing pilot projects, and how would this fit with those that are already doing them?
So the only one I'm aware of is Berkeley that has a pilot for reusables right now.
Fremont.
A pilot. Oh, right, I'm sorry. So we're working with Fremont on the Rethink Disposables campaign. Others have expressed interest, and we're open to this approach of having master contracts with Rethink or with others that might be able to provide that service.
Deborah, and then
Brian. Oh, just a quick follow-up. So as far as you know, those are the only two jurisdictions that are currently doing pilots.
Alameda has an ordinance in effect.
But no pilots.
Thank you.
They use the clean water, Rethink,
Yeah, thank you. At our meeting last night, actually, my council kind of finally heard the real details about SB 1383, and so they were so stunned. I don't think they could. It was hard for them to, get beyond that. To be honest, my staff and I mean, I first met with staff and the recycling folks and the TAC folks before we decided to talk to the council, and their feedback to me was, they just, because of the onus of SB 1383, they simply, couldn't take on, in their opinion, anything else right now. And as I said to the council last night, to me it's not, I'm disappointed, it's not, I'm worried about, there's going to be more forks, plastic forks going into the landfill. It's really that not producing that product, it goes beyond that. It's we need to stop producing that plastic, and if we're not using it, maybe that will stop. So to me, that's why I'm disappointed that this is so hard and coming right on the heels of the SB 1383. So my question. We gave an award to that. Wasn't it in Oakland to the little restaurant in Oakland, right? You guys gave an award to a restaurant in Oakland that put in a little dishwasher, right? Do I recall
that? Or moved to reusables, yeah.
Last year or a year ago or something?
There are some
There were some last year and then the year before as well.
So I'm interested in versus maybe not this, the program of returning the cups to different places. It's more finding the little establishments that could just, I mean, you know, my mom didn't have a dishwasher. She bought a portable one that you just hooked up to the sink. I mean, you know, that years ago, so it probably doesn't exist anymore. But maybe it isn't as big of infrastructure as what I'm, you know, in some cases I'm hoping. So are you looking for a little mom and pop place like that just wants to, do it here in our establishment as a potential pilot?
Absolutely. I mean, and we want to understand the impacts to those businesses. Mm-hmm. And in addition to what you're describing, a portable dishwasher, maybe mobile, there's mobile dishwashing services. Mm-hmm. So if a business is thinking at the outset, oh, this means more space, it means dishwashing labor or equipment or permits, maybe there's other solutions and we can explore that and test it out with them.
And that's the kind of information expertise you folks could bring to an establishment I might bring to you. You'd go through those kinds of options.
I think we on staff don't have the full expertise yet, but we know who's out there working on it and we're going to continue to develop that. There's also a regional group that is meeting to develop this infrastructure throughout the Bay Area, and we're part of that group. I feel confident saying we're keyed in to what's happening and we'll stay on the forefront of that.
I know, you know, Bob and I talked about this company that did the presentation at National League of Cities that they've sprung up and said, we'll bring you the dishes and we'll take them back and, you know, that kind of thing. So, I guess that's what you're going to look at. Is there we'll find a company like that and then we can bring that to these little establishments?
That's the part that we're trying
to
explore.
Look at. Okay, yeah. I get it. Okay. The other thing is we do know that this kind of ordinance exists other places like Santa Cruz. So, right, Santa Cruz County, isn't that what we were told that, you know, so are there. Have we had a chance to find out if we can learn from them or steal from them their ideas or, you know, in any way?
Do you want to comment on that? Mary's been keeping a finger on the pulse.
Okay.
Most of the ordinances that do require dine-in, reusables for dine-in, have either just been passed or still pending. So there's not a whole lot to learn just yet. Like the city of Berkeley, it's passed, but it's not implemented till 2021. Mm-hmm. And they're also still figuring out some of the details. So you're right. They are in place. There's just not a whole lot to learn except for perhaps ordinance language and what was able to be passed. Mm-hmm.
Well, I personally am really interested in trying to see if we can, you know, make this work. And I like the pilot program option just to help us move along. I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, there's partnerships. We can partner with our chambers or something. I mean, as far as, you know, seeing if there's some funding or support, you know, some other way, you know, to help support exploring, and then I don't know. I had said maybe there's a grant that, you know, to help people get this dishwasher, get a dishwasher in, or something as a going forward.
What we like about option one is it's not just it's going to be countywide ordinance us or model ordinance. You guys figure out what you want to do, but with a pilot, there's an opportunity to actually partner with your city to identify some of the projects themselves, and you'll have the connection to like the chambers and the local organization that will really help us.
Okay. All right. I'm personally interested in that. Not exactly sure how interested my staff is yet, because they are overwhelmed by SB 1383. So.
Thank you. I am grateful for staff for bringing forward option one, because when I brought option two and option three to my council, neither were a perfect fit and neither got 100% buy-in, although we were very conscious that we want to move towards reusables. Just because of the nature of the small restaurants in our community, we thought that would be an undue burden to bring the stick instead of the carrot. So that's what I like about option one right now. I think that that does address all of our issues with helping people along and getting them to a space where if we did bring the stick down, you know, we got them, you know, if not all the way there, most of the way there. The other thing about option one is it gives us an opportunity to work with, I was just caucusing with Jim here, I think we should bring the CRA in, because I think that they would have an interest in, especially if it affects bottom lines of these restaurants, the California Restaurant Association should proactively help us talk to their members about what they need, and should be able to facilitate, you know, getting numbers back from those restaurants that we can't actually do a deep dive into. And I do have some ideas about restaurants in my community that I think would welcome a deep dive. But for those that, you know, where we would need to collect data, but we can't actually physically be in their space to see how many plates they're handing out in an hour, I think that's something that they could be helpful with. And they could also grease the wheels with people being more receptive to these types of ideas. So, again, thank you for brainstorming option one on very, very short notice. And what I've heard from my council and my staff is that this type of approach would be the smartest for our community and the friendliest.
Thank you. Thanks for this very thorough staff report. I appreciate it. A couple quick questions. So is there any economies of scale we could get? Say, for example, we do a pilot. We will be able to reuse some of that information and reduce the cost of doing either two or three if that's the way we decide to do it in the future. I mean, we could be drafting a model ordinance, for example, while we're learning from the pilot, maybe.
I mean, I think there's an opportunity there potentially. There's also an opportunity, and if we're testing out messaging for a marketing and outreach campaign, that's some development of material there. On the language, I think there are, as others have pointed out, there are ordinances out there and there's language to draw from, and we can leverage some of that. I think one piece of it is the environmental review, the CEQA analysis, which we would need to know what is included in the ordinance before we proceed with that, because that could really affect the cost. So that piece, I don't know that we could move forward right away with that piece.
And then at some point, if we cease to exist, who would be responsible for the enforcement and paying for the enforcement? So I don't know if you have an answer to that.
Great question.
That was a question.
Yeah, we
have. That was a question. So some quick comments. You know, the pilot, I think we should have some other things, like maybe a chain that's in the entire county, maybe under is like a Starbucks or a Pete's, yes, might be interested in participating, or a business district, Temescal Business District, for example. I mean, if we had entire districts or entire chains, the data might be more valuable because we can kind of see on a bigger scale. I like the idea of a pilot. I mean, we have our ordinance in Alameda, but you know, I'm sure it can be improved. My colleagues really like the idea, because we're the first place that's going to be flooded. So anything we can do to help the environment, you guys have places, we'll be underwater. I'm worried about some of these startups, because, you know, we did Lime Bikes, and then one day they said, you know, we're not operating tomorrow. So if you have some of these, you know, startups that have kind of a cool concept, you know, tomorrow they might not be in business, and then you're kind of stuck. So just quickly, some of my colleagues' concerns, you know, the cost of enforcement, because we're still trying to figure out how to enforce our ordinance, and for 2 years, you know, the plastic bag ordinance, you know, there's still some issues around the enforcement of that. There was a concern, the CRA also came and offered to be a resource, so I would second Diane's comment there. There was a desire to use more of an incentive and a carrot versus a stick, you know, incentives for those that want to participate in the program versus penalties for those that don't participate. As you know, we had one of our local businesses, actually, it was more profitable for them to switch, and what was Chicken Shack, we honored them, so we talked about them as well. And then nobody really liked that 25 cent per cup or any of that surcharge. I mean, we just raised our minimum wage in Alameda, so our businesses, rightly or wrongly, are saying they're feeling the pinch, so tack on another fee, I think, might be something we'd be willing to hold off on. But I'm glad you guys come up with the pilot idea, and I hope it's something that can be meaningful and that we can actually learn from and save money for the next step.
Yes, thanks. I missed the message that I should bring this to my council formally, but I'd like to do that still. But I know that they're usually not in favor of something that that the city, our city, has to do itself, because we're a small city and staff is impacted. So oftentimes, quite often, if the county or the state can do it, we're better off. I know that also we're very sensitive to the business concerns. And as I was sitting here, I shot off an email to my business associations to get their feedback as well. So I think, like my colleagues, I think it is good to do the data collection, do the pilot before jumping full in. I mean, in general, being coming from the science engineering world, collecting data, knowing, getting something in front of you before you jump in and actually implement something is usually the best practice. So rather than implementing something and then having to adjust afterwards. So that's my feedback so far. Thanks.
Emily? So my team is a little concerned about implementation of 1383 in terms of resources. They kind of freaked out a little bit about that because it's kind of unknown what that is going to require local cities to do. But I think with respect to the pilot, I think there's a lot of openness and willingness to consider perhaps participating in it, but certainly learning from it. I think my staff and my council would be open to that. But I do think that there would be some value in helping us understand what the resource requirement will be for 1383 at a local level, and then that will help us better position the limited staff we have to be able to take a proactive role in helping with this implementation. Yeah.
So I met with my staff. We had a brief discussion in City Council. It wasn't an agenda item. Didn't get much feedback from my council members other than, when you get it figured out, bring it back. Which, okay. But when I met with staff, it was before we had option one today. And as we went back and forth, we looked at the 17,000-pound gorilla sitting in the middle of the room is 1383. Staff is worried, how is this going to be, when it gets implemented, when it's finally voted on, comes in, and it's going to be right in front of 1383 in 2022. So how's that going to be handled? And I'm going, I don't know. I don't know. And so as we discussed it and looking at the costs and so on and so forth, it was easier for staff to be honest and say, I think it's great if you do a county ordinance versus a model ordinance. We'll lay it on stop waste. And I was agreeable to that. And Pleasanton, there is a People's Republic of Berkeley, but there's one of Pleasanton as well. And I was really surprised that staff didn't want to do more of a model and just key it into our own folks and whatnot. So we left it at, come back and let's do the county ordinance. And then we got the packet and we had another discussion. Actually, we've had two discussions today and yesterday. And staff is really excited about the pilots. They think, and looking at the pilots, one was to look at Alameda and look at Berkeley and see what's working for them as they go through their ordinance building, so on and so forth. But also was where else, like Santa Cruz, for us to learn from that. So that was like, that's part of your pilot. And also the definition of your pilot. What is the pilot? I mean, is it chains? Is it mom and pops? A mix of both. And then how's that look countywide? What's that look like in South County, North County, Tri-Valley, so on and so forth. But then the last thing that came up in the discussions was, so how does this still impact with 1383? And so the discussion we had was, what about if you're doing the pilot, what about specializing that pilot you have? Here's what we would do just for foodware, but who do we have that would volunteer to do both foodware and maybe a pilot on 1383 as we know it? Okay? But, I mean, if this is data gathering for this agency to move forward to help us with foodware and eventually to help us with 1383, maybe that's a way to use this pilot program. So that's where we're at. We're good with the pilot if it's just foodware. We're even better if it's a pilot with foodware and understanding how 1383 is going to impact those folks who are willing to participate in the pilot.
If I could just chime in on that, I think that's a really interesting thought, because with 13, and specifically what I think, there, that could mean a number of things, but specifically what I'm thinking about with 1383 is food recovery. And if there are food service operations that are willing to try out reusables, are willing to try out recovering foodware, and we can integrate that and get data on both, that would be really valuable.
Melissa,
thank you. Yes, I think our city managers spoke with each other, Jerry. We had a lot of the same comments, but their big concern was they knew that 1383 would require substantial time, and they were just worried that Stop Waste wouldn't focus on this legislative versus trying to juggle two things at one time. So we wouldn't mind doing the county ordinance, but we wanted to wait a year. So they felt that the pilot would be the best thing to do right now. So two council members were just like up in the air, let us know exactly what we're going to end up deciding to do. But I know our city manager was concerned of maybe having to hire just another individual on staff just to kind of help, you know, organize and get, and make sure that everything was being implemented and that 1383 was really being taken care of initially. So.
Sheila?
Thank you. So I would encourage you to take your time figuring all this out. And I would associate myself with all the remarks, but I will hammer home on 1383. We are a small district. I think there are only two small districts in this group. We only have 42 employees, and most of them are working underground. So 1383 hits us right in the wheelhouse. I've been following 1383 for the last year, and it is really quite substantial, and it will affect all the cities as well as it will us. But with us, since we send stuff to the landfill, and particularly around the alternate daily cover, we have some real concerns about trying to enforce 1383 on the rest of the community before we start trying to be big brother with reusable foodware. And I think that a lot of people, if I'm a customer, I'm going to have a great deal of response to this whole request. Never mind the fact that the people who own the businesses have their own concerns as well. We are faced now with raising taxes on our services in order to provide just the new cans that are required in the waste industry. And while we don't have, everything doesn't have to be done until 2036, the cans, at least the colored lids, has to be done by 2022. Changing the lids is not the right way to go for us. I don't know about what all the cities are going to do if we already have the right colors, but the 1383 is quite substantial for a small district. So I will focus on helping us implement 1383 before we start trying to do option two or three. I would fully support option one when you figure out exactly what that's going to look like. And my guess is it'll take 6 to 8 months to figure out what that really looks like. So I'm very supportive of option one. Although I think there are some differences in your attachments regarding the costs. So one place it says 400,000, one place it says 300,000. Hopefully you'll figure that out soon. And I'm sure we have the money to do it. I do think being very careful and moving slowly is the proper way to go before we, all of us trying to work out 1383 is going to be quite substantial. And if all of you haven't read issues around 1383, you really should. While it won't mean anything specific to you personally, it is a huge amount of work to put on staff. So, with that said, let's hope CalRecycle starts to spend some of its money.
Thank you. I'll make my comments brief. We support all the comments that have been made. When this came to our council, we supported a countywide ordinance. We were not wishing to take on another local ordinance where there would be inconsistency among the various jurisdictions as to whether our consumers can anticipate. At the end of the day, I support option one. I'm glad you're tapping into the TAC team, and maybe as you look at the pilot program, you have the TAC members, if they're not already doing that, have them identify specific restaurants within the community, and maybe you base the number of restaurants that you focus on or businesses that you focus on based on population growth. So smaller cities come up with a few, larger cities come up with a number more than that, and we use that as kind of a baseline moving forward in terms of what are we learning from these various businesses countywide moving forward. But at the end of the day, we would support option one.
So as was mentioned, we don't have a lot of information yet. I do think it was more expensive for the city to figure out how to implement than we initially thought. And I can just tell you anecdotally from talking to restaurant owners what I've heard. You know, I think that obviously the dine-in higher-end restaurants are already compliant. It's not an issue for them. It's the smaller restaurants that have more takeout, which is very popular in a student town, and more and more popular amongst millennials. There are certain challenges. For example, hot soup. How do you provide a container that's compostable that can deal with the heat of the soup? This has been an issue. And one restaurant I know of actually provides jars for the soup, and if you're up to it, you can return the jar. You know. The issue about the washing machines, the dishwashers, is, of course, more complicated than on the surface because you probably will need to do a little remodeling. You'll need to get a permit. When the inspector comes, he'll inspect the dishwasher, but he'll also find that maybe your range hood isn't in compliance. Maybe it's not ducted properly. On and on and on. So there's a lot of fear about making any changes, especially if you're dealing with the margins. Margins on some of these restaurants are very, very small. And so there was a lot of fear that we have to work with. That's just a little cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Well, Dan hasn't spoken yet, so let's hear from Dan.
Thank you. I'm sorry I missed the presentation, so if I say things that were already answered, just tell me to shut up. So, on the 1383, obviously that's very important and fundamentally important, required, and a lot of work is already in place or is starting to be in place, and we're ramping up, and cities are involved. So, are there some things in terms of the outreach, oversight, the people, the businesses that we would be in contact with for 1383, that would be the very same businesses that would be in contact for this, at least in the commercial side? Would that be the case?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, sometimes you can kill two birds with one stone. And if you're reaching out to folks for one reason that has to do with, you know, improving, reducing waste and better for the environment and so on, recycling, you could reach out to them for multiple things at the same time, and having to come back later to do it 2 years later when you could have done it at the same time you're already reaching out to them is a missed opportunity, in my opinion. So I don't want to miss that opportunity. So I think we should be very cognizant of that and make every effort to piggyback on ourselves and not lose those opportunities, because there are lots of them, and it makes sense to do that. And could even be more cost-effective, but at a minimum, it just makes sense to do that. So I don't know. Again, I'm reading the memo, but I didn't hear the presentation. that went over the three options here. I was not aware of the option one prior to just half hour ago. So I can't really speak to that. I know if we were to do a countywide ordinance, there's a lot of work to do where it wouldn't even go into effect for another probably couple of years or so. I mean, you have to kind of write the thing, do the CEQA analysis, and get ready to ramp up and have a little leeway in terms of when it's enforceable or not. And so it's going to be nearly 2 years before, you know, that would actually be enforceable in a location, even if we started tomorrow to actually go forward. So that's already going to be kind of a ramp up. But I don't know what the pilot really means. Are we going to just pilot businesses that are volunteering, in which case that's not a very good pilot? I don't know what it means here. Maybe examples of the pilot was described before I got here, and I apologize for not knowing, and I apologize for being late. But I just worry about how representative and thorough and big enough a pilot it would be to really get the data you want to set us on the pathway for a countywide ordinance, which is what we have to get to. We absolutely have to get to a countywide ordinance sooner or later. And other counties are going to look to Alameda County because we are, you know, we're groundbreakers here. So the more we delay, the more other counties are going to delay. I guarantee that. And so let's not shoot ourselves and let's not take advantage of opportunities. Let's not delay things that could cause other counties to delay as well or other big cities. And I think we should figure out what more we need to do to get to a countywide ordinance and what steps that would be and what the timeline would be, and then to take those steps very carefully, understanding it's not going to happen right away. But let's not stop work on that.
Well, yes, we did talk about the examples for the pilot projects prior to your arrival, but I completely hear your concerns. I'd just like to mention to the entire board, the option one is not to delay, is to make sure that we have the right kind of information to be able to implement, to write an ordinance that can be implemented in the county. So, you know, it is another step towards the ordinance development, whether it's countywide or model, but we want to make sure that we have enough information to be thoughtful about it.
No, I'm not estimated to repeat themselves from before I was here, but so the pilot would be robust enough to really get that information throughout the county with the different kinds of policies that might be in, not just one policy, but different policies that might be in a countywide ordinance, and it would be enough information to know where those hurdles or unanticipated consequences would be that would then inform the county ordinance that
Correct.
We want to start writing soon.
Correct. With a caveat that we would like to get assistance from the cities as well to identify some of the businesses and to come up with a pilot, because we can't just do it on our own. So
right. So that brings the question a moment ago, is how many businesses do we need in how many different locations in the county to be a robust enough, statistically valid pilot? And how do you get them? I mean, again, if you get ones that volunteer, that's
we won't. To, we
that,
won't.
That's going to be
that's not a scheme. Valid pilot, yeah, in our opinion. Right.
Okay. Okay. So those are my initial thoughts. I want us to be very assertive and moving forward. And we got a big job to do, and we shouldn't, you know, delay it too much. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on Susan's comments that what Susan presented to us was exactly the conversation that we had locally in Pleasanton as well. Individual things like, well, once you put in some sort of sanitary dishwashing, you bring in Alameda County Health to approve it, and you might ruin that business in a sense. I mean, we all want them to meet the health codes and so on and so forth. And every restaurant in Alameda County meets those codes. So we all understand that. But those were the things that we actually were talking about. But Pleasanton would like to participate in this pilot program. And whether it's staff or it's
can't really say we'll give you money.
Or both.
But you can talk to Nelson and tell him I said that we will participate, because we did agree on that.
Great.
So we'd want to see it go forward. And again, the emphasis that, as you just mentioned and I mentioned earlier, is that we really think if you're out doing this data gathering on the pilot program for foodware, that 1383, how it dovetails, also makes sense to have that as part of the pilot program. It just makes sense. So hopefully we can find some room for that.
Thank you very much for that.
So I think I'm the last to speak. I just want to share a few thoughts. I do think trying to coordinate outreach is great, but 1383 is a law that every business in every city has to comply with. So I don't know how doing special outreach to certain, you know, businesses that are interested in reusable foodware is going to help us implement 1383 across the county. I don't really see that as being a particularly strong connection, and you know, I'm not even sure if it's the same program staff working on those two efforts. I think what I heard was a very strong consensus in favor of option one. I think with the possible maybe one or two exceptions, that was really the predominant, you know, when we had our council discussion with the two options on the table, the countywide ordinance was the preferred option of those two. But given where we are and given all the input we've heard from everyone, it sounds to me like option one is the way to go. Were there any speaker cards on this item? Okay, I have one speaker card, so why don't we hear from the public?
You can bring them. If we have more, if you could just bring them. I have yours counted.
Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Trovey. I'm the Environmental Services Manager for Fremont. And the Fremont staff conveyed to our council representatives, we strongly supported option one. We think it'll yield some very valuable information in writing the ordinance and will improve implementation. We also look forward to contributing to the information gathering. We're doing a project with Rethink Disposable. We'll be targeting 250 businesses through a contract which will be administered by Stockways. And we think that's an opportunity to contribute to the information gathering, and you know, we look forward to participating in other pilots that make sense. So I think the more information we have going in, the better the ordinance will be and the more successfully we can implement.
And I have another speaker card, Dagny Tucker.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dagny Tucker, and I'm the founder of Vessel, the reusable cup service that was chosen by the Ecology Center to build the reusable system there to pilot. And just a couple of comments overall. I just want to say I have been very impressed with the Ecology Center, and overall I think the outreach and communication has been phenomenal. From the high level, I will comment that I think the power of the legislation that was passed has been phenomenal. We launched initially in 2016 in New York City, and I will say we have always had an interest, but the caliber and size of the type of interest that is now coming down the pipeline, I directly attribute to the legislation that's starting to move in this country. QSRs you would never dream of being named in this room, looking at doing reusable specifically. So I want to say bravo, and I think the power of this room to move legislation forward and create bigger shifts is phenomenal. Just to give you a little bit on the pilot in Berkeley, we have exceeded our sign-up goals by 18%. We have over 1,200 sign-ups, people using Vessel actively. Our checkouts have been exceeded by 60%. We projected with the Ecology Center about 2,400 checkouts at this point in the pilot, and we're over 3,600. Why we started in 2016, I just want to speak to some of Justin's comments. We really wanted to find out what people actually use this. How could we make it feasible for both vendors and users? And so we spent 8 months testing different types of communication, different technology, free services, non-free services. So essentially doing the work that this group wants to do, starting in 2016 and in different iterations ever since. Our biggest challenge has been capital. So I would say having more programs come forth where there's a willingness to support the infrastructure necessary and the CapEx to build reusability systems for communities is really important. I think I have 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Do I have one more minute? Oh, okay, great. The last thing I wanted to say is that one of our big initiatives has been to how to address these bigger problems of disposables, whereby we didn't think we could address every little single piece of plastic at one time. So we really looked for an intervention that would have behavior change, and what we found is that people who didn't identify as sustainably minded, after 3 weeks of using Vessel and receiving the feedback we get, significantly, they quote, reconsidered all their daily single-use disposable habits. So we really see the behavior change, and we think that that's the big piece that can go into these other ordinances that you're dealing with, finding ways to create the bigger behavior change. And I also think the cognitive shift of having a fee is not to be underestimated. People don't care about a 10-cent discount or a 50-cent savings, but as soon as you tell them they're going to have to pay extra for something, literally from a cognitive science perspective, it creates a shift and people change behavior. So I fully support the ordinance as well as pilots.
Thank you. And I have one more card from Peter Sloat.
Good afternoon, Peter Sloat from Solid Waste and Recycling. Good afternoon, I'm Peter Sloat, Solid Waste and Recycling Program Supervisor for City of Oakland. Just a couple of general comments on the whole approach, and not on the specific options that are before you today, but I did want to say that I think that the focus on reuse first is something that's very appropriate and very bold for the county. The other thing, at some point when we're approaching single-use products, I noticed that in option three, that compostables were limited to non-plastic compostables, only the fiber compostables. I think this is also a very brave, very right thing to do. There's really mounting evidence that these so-called the compostable plastics are not all that preferable. And on the other hand, there's really mounting evidence that we are going to be confronted with a tsunami of these products. So I think that Alameda County should be a place where we can take a stand against that. It's a big enough market to get the brand's attention on that. And then the last thing I just wanted to say, just generally speaking about single-use products, while I agree that replacing one single-use product with another single-use product doesn't get to consumption, it does potentially address other problems, because a lot of these single-use products are major contaminants in our recycling and composting streams. And if we clean up that product stream, we affect those streams. And it also perhaps reduces some of the toxicity and longevity of marine litter. So there's another filter on that to have, as well as the sort of that the first hierarchy of consumption. Thank you.
Thank you. And one more card from Samantha Summer.
Hi, my name is Samantha Summer, and I'm here representing the Rethink Disposable campaign that I've been directing for the last 5.5 years on behalf of Clean Water Action. I'm here today to tell you that the pilots have been done. We've been active in 7 counties throughout California, working with hundreds of businesses, small food business operators, the very ones that we want to provide the support to today. And the numbers are there, the metrics are there, the data is there that truly proves that source reduction and transitioning disposable food or packaging on site to reusable works for businesses. We're not the enemy, we're the hero. We're coming in there and helping by providing the services that they need to overcome the challenges. We do the heavy lifting, and we help them get to the gold standard, because what they do in the end is put money back into the bank. They're thriving longer into the future. So let me tell you a little story about Alameda. We tried to engage 293 food service businesses there, small mom and pop shops, but also don't forget our chains are owned and operated by local franchisee owners as well. And we worked with 80 businesses on the island to transition their packaging from disposable to reusable on site. In total, our businesses are eliminating over 6.2 million pieces of single-use packaging that we can't compost and recycle our way out of anymore. Let's be real. 33 tons of waste eliminated from the system altogether. That's what we're here to do, is true zero waste.
Collectively, our businesses are saving over $140,000 a year. And here's the bigger analysis. We talk about all the challenges, all the dishwashing, the space, the labor. We track all of that. We analyze that, and we report on that. And I'm happy to say that all of our businesses implemented reusables. 50% of them have a three-sink system. 50% of them have a mechanized dishwasher. Even if you don't have a mechanized dishwasher, there are reusables that you can implement in your food establishment. Out of all the businesses that participated in Alameda, two chose to lease a dishwasher as a result of implementing reusables on site, two. And one business owner had to hire an additional part-time dishwasher. So, and the business that was mentioned earlier, Honolulu Barbecue, which received a Stock-Based Business Efficiency Award last year, she was one of the business owners who had to purchase, lease a dishwasher. And because of her avoided disposable foodware procurement, because of her avoided waste and reduction in waste hauling services, she was still saving $1,300 a year net. So the numbers prove that reuse works. Reuse is the only way forward. And lastly, I would love to meet with any of your council members. I'd love to make a presentation. I can meet with your staff. I'm happy. I have so much data to share, and I would just love to get that story far and wide.
Thank you. Staff, have any response? Have you received the data from Clean Water Action?
Yes, we've worked really closely with Clean Water Action. They have great case studies, and I agree with what Samantha is saying. I would add that the pilots we're talking about are not solely about restaurants. It's about the infrastructure and the services and the businesses that need to support that infrastructure. So I think there is data out there, and there's a lot more data to gather and scenarios to test out.
And we'd like to get more information, not just from the city of Alameda.
Jim?
One more quick comment. We're a good source of information. But I appreciate that. Just a couple comments that I heard that kind of first scary, the thing about Alameda Health. I mean, we all heard horror stories, so I am concerned that, you know, something as simple as maybe putting in a dishwasher might shut somebody down, because we all have horror stories. But I'm just back on the pilot thing. I hope that if we do this, it's with a large enough group that we have a diverse set of end users, because if we're just going to do high-end, you know, restaurants where Tesla drivers go to, we're not really going to see the impact of what it's going to be across the entire county. So, I mean, I'm thinking like all the Starbucks or all the McDonald's or all the Pete's or Stone Ridge Mall or Temescal Business District, you know, places like that are that have a diverse mix of customers and end users that we can actually get some really solid information on. Because like one of the speakers said, I think once you start doing it, then you're hooked, right? So, thanks.
Thank you.
So do we need a motion on this? No vote?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So if anyone's prepared to introduce a motion.
Not a motion, Mr. Chairman, but just simply a request that if we do go with option one on the pilot program, that we get a periodic update as to how the pilot program is proceeding.
Well,
with that being said, I would suggest that staff move forward with option one.
Yeah. Wait, was that a motion?
Yes.
That was a motion.
You made a motion.
All right.
Can I second it?
And a second.
Yeah.
Any further discussion?
I have a question.
Okay.
So, again, you may have shared details about it, but I don't have a sense as to what the pilot program actually will be. Was a specific thing laid out already earlier, or is that not yet determined?
Not yet determined, because we didn't know which option you were going to choose.
Okay, so I think it's premature to say, I think it's fine to say we want you to come back with a proposed pilot program and a pathway timeline that gets us to eventual Kennewick ordinance following the pilot, but I can't say I want a pilot program if I don't know what it actually looks like yet.
Just to clarify, I did not hear that the countywide ordinance is the choice from the board.
No. I'm just saying, you're right. I'm just saying that if we're going to do a pilot program, as you said earlier in response to my earlier question, you said that's going to inform and lead us to a possible countywide ordinance.
To an ordinance. I don't know what that ordinance will
ordinance.
Be. Yes.
An actual ordinance. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, since we don't yet know what the pilot program is going to look like, I can't support saying, yes, let's do it. I could support having staff come back to us with a proposal, with a proposed pilot program, so we could judge the robustness. Is that a word? The level of robustivity.
Yeah, that's two words.
In the program, and make the case that here's a thorough pilot, here's what we got, here's the data we found from someone else, and here's what we're going to do, and here's the number of cities. And so then we could say, or at least I could say, oh, that sounds like a really good pilot program. But I can't know what that is yet. That's just my reaction.
Thank you, Dan. Emily? Your light is on.
Oh, I just didn't turn it on.
Okay, sorry.
You know, I was just going to point out that this is not listed on our agenda as an action item. It's simply to give direction. And I think that's what Dan was getting to, giving direction to work on option one. And then obviously you'll come back and report what you're working on, right? I mean, am I wrong? Is that what we're doing here?
Well, let's see if the motion was to provide direction to staff to proceed with option one.
It doesn't say motion. It says provide direction.
The agenda says provide direction to staff on how to proceed, and the only way the board can provide direction is through a motion.
Really? I thought we do that all the time by shaking our heads. Yes.
That is a more informal, but this is a major policy question.
Well, I think it should be a general motion, then. I don't think it should be so specific that it highlights the things that Dan doesn't agree with.
Well, we have a motion on the table to direct staff to move forward with option one and to report back to the board. Is that a fair characterization of the motion?
Right, and I'll leave it up to staff as to when they believe is a reasonable time for them to bring something back for us to kind of look at and say that pilot program is moving forward just as we anticipated it would. So that was a part of my motion as well.
Okay.
Can I get clarification, from staff? Are you saying that you would like to get a report from us, update how the project pilot is, or are we getting your approval for what the pilot project is?
My motion is that I'm directing staff to move forward with a pilot program as outlined in option one, but to come back to this board in the near future to let us know how that pilot program and the parameters for that program and the genesis of that, how that's all shaping.
Okay.
Joe, clarifying question. I mean, I have kind of the same concern as Dan. I mean, I'd like to see this before it actually we pull the trigger on it. So
you want approval of the...
You are asking us to come back to you for approval of the pilot.
I don't know if I need to approve it, but I'd kind of like to know before it went in what we were doing. I mean, maybe that requires approval. I don't know.
I think that would be appropriate, bringing it back for approval. That's what I'm hearing. Is that compatible with your motion, Michael?
Well, I didn't want to get down into the day-to-day operation of Stop Waste. I mean, this is an outstanding organization who does an outstanding job. They've already done quite a bit of work, so it sounds like, on developing the pilot program, what it's going to look like. They've had conversations with their TAC members already. So I was confident enough with Stop Waste to simply moving forward with the concept of a pilot program, come back to this board within 60 to 90 days, for example, let us know how that pilot program is progressing, give them, the board, the opportunity to ask questions as to what's the composition of the pilot program as you're moving forward, et cetera, et cetera. I just want to give you the opportunity to move forward with the pilot program, let you define what it looks like, and then come back within a reasonable period of time.
Okay. And does the seconder of the motion agree with the clarification?
I do. I think that as I understood this as an option, it was for the staff to go away and create a pilot program, and I think that all of our discussion and staff and boards have said that's what we want, is to have staff create a pilot program. And at some point, certainly we would need to be briefed on what that is. So I would agree with his expansion of the motion.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion and a second. Let's go ahead and see where we are. So on the motion, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain. Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, staff, for all your hard work on this.